The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Sunday's racing on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from midday. Mick Norton, Alistair Whitehouse-Jones and Stephen Powell will be in the studio. It's racing from Carlisle, Leicester and Fairy House on Sunday. So we're going to look ahead to some of the action shortly. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Gareth Topham. How are you, Gareth?
Yeah, not too bad. Thanks, Mark. Yeah, it's been a great weekend of racing action. So, it's just a great time of year at the moment.
It is. We're at that stage of year where there's good racing every weekend. I mean, next weekend we've got the Tingle Creek as well. We've just had the Hennessy and we've had the Fighting Fifth. And, yeah, if you're a jumps fan, this kind of time of year is exciting.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, if you can't get excited, around this time of year, then I think you're in the wrong sport. particularly, I mean, I'm a hardened jumps fan through and through. Plenty of people will know that, and this is the best time of year for me racing wise. All this build up now to Christmas, and then after Christmas you've got all of the build up to Cheltenham and Aintree. It's just fantastic. It's what it's all about for me.
Yeah, so let's just so you got the Tingle Creek next weekend, haven't we? Then is it the December Gold Cup?
We got
Cup
the Beecher Chase as well next week.
And the Beecher Chase, yeah.
Then the following week
December Gold Cup.
Yeah.
Then it's the King George.
It's the King George, yeah. So, Christy, making Christmas sound is coming round too quick. Done no shopping yet.
Yeah, it's sneaking up on us, isn't it? 25 days as we record this.
Don't say that.
It's Christmas. But there you go. Before we get stuck into Sunday's racing then, because we're going to look ahead to Fairy House, there's three grade runs on their card, so the good action continues. It's everywhere. You just want to have a chat about some of the news stories, and I suppose the Newbury news stories... something that we didn't really need to see, really. I mean, the dress code's a little bit too strict there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's always Berkshire, isn't it? We find themselves in. It happened at Ascot, didn't it?
Yeah,
a couple of seasons ago. I understand that race courses want have got their standards.
Yeah,
but. Ultimately, I think we're trying to get people to go to the races, not put them off. And as far as I'm concerned, if you're a first-time racegoer in particular, and you're going racing, and you've got somebody, asking you to unzip your coat to show that you've got a collared shirt on underneath, I just think that's a little bit too much.
Yeah.
And there's a picture in today's Racing Post of a lady racegoer who's gone, as far as I'm concerned, perfectly reasonable. And, she just looks like a typical female racegoer in the winter as well, who's dressed for the occasion. And by all accounts, she, at the start, was refused entry because of her attire. And you see the picture and you just think, really? And I don't know. I just think they do take it a little bit too far sometimes. I understand that racecourses have got standards, particularly... Grade one race courses, they've got high standards of racing, high standard facilities. They want, people to look smart. That's fair enough. And it's not as if they're denying them access to all enclosures. It's just certain enclosures.
Yeah.
But I think it's a very old-fashioned way of looking at it. And I've never been a great fan, not so much at the bigger courses, but at the smaller courses in particular, of this designated areas where you have different enclosures. Why can't it just be one price for all? Maybe at the smaller tracks, I'm not saying at the bigger tracks, like Ascot, obviously it wouldn't work, but I think it's a very old-fashioned way of looking at it, and denying somebody who's dressed similar to how this lady in the Racing Post looks, I think it's pretty poor, really. It's just not the way of treating customers. If you're paying 30, 40 quid, I don't know what it is to get into Newbury and Ascot, tracks like this, but I'm guessing 30, 40 quid. If you're paying that, you want to go in, have a good day. We're in the winter, for goodness sake. Dress for the weather. And, she clearly feels that she has dressed for the weather. Is a skirt a bit short? Well, if she's warm enough, where's the problem? I don't see a problem with how this lady's dressed. I think, you know, particularly in the winter, I think common sense should prevail a little bit. You should be dressing for the weather. Maybe in the summer at Royal Ascot, yeah, in stricter, more, you know...
turn up in a vest and shorts, then, yeah, then fair enough.
But, you know, I do think that it seems to happen down the south quite a bit as well. I'm not pinpointing certain race courses, trying not to, but it just seems as if they get ahead of themselves a little bit, and I just think it's ridiculous, particularly at this time of year. Mm-hmm. Asking a gentleman to unzip his coat to show that you've got a collared shirt on underneath.
Yeah.
I mean, it's absolutely... I just think it's ludicrousy. I really do. So it's something... I think, you know, in a sport where we're trying to attract people to come to the races, not put them off. And, you know, what are they wearing? Are they causing trouble? not really. So I think there's more important things we could be focusing on as opposed to silly little things like this.
Yeah.
It really does just take the gloss off a great sport for me.
Okay, well, we'll move on from that. Sunday's racing, we've got Fairy House. We're going to look at three races there. Three grade ones on their card, as we mentioned, so we'll go through those. The 1240 is the first of them. It's the Royal Bond Novice Hurdle over 2 miles. And shall we start here with Minella For You, who comes here unbeaten. AP McCoy's going over to Ireland to ride in those JP McManus silks. And yeah, going somewhere, going places. Isn't it, so far?
Yeah, it's a lovely horse, great prospect for the future. Unbeaten so far in a one run between the flags and two runs under National Hunt rules, has done very little wrong, and now gets to prove what he's made of in top class company. This is a good renewal, I think, of the Royal Bond Novices Hurdle. We've got no fewer than 10 runners, which I think would be quite a big field for this race, actually. Mm. 12 months ago, Jezky beat just 5 horses. But there is one against Minella For You, which I'll be taking a little interest at, because, honestly, he is a horse who I followed last season. He didn't quite make it at a very high level last year, but he did manage to win at the end of the season, and he won well on his seasonal debut last time out. That's Philip Fenton's The Tullow Tank.
Yeah.
He's pretty well named. He's quite a sizable horse, this. He caught my eye, I think it was at Leopardstown, the day he finished fourth. He was staying on at the end of a, I think it was a hurdle race, may have even been a handicap or a maiden hurdle. It was lesser grade than this, that's for sure. But he was staying on, and I just put him in the notebook after that as one to keep an eye on. And he didn't really disappoint. And like I said, he comes into the race having won the last twice. He did everything right, I thought, last time. And I think he's a horse with real potential. I think he'll make an exciting chaser in the future as well. But, yeah, I can see him giving Minella For You a real race in that Royal Bond Novices Hurdle. It's a good renewal of that grade one.
It is, yes. And if you could get an each-way price about him, would you see him in the frame regardless?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure how the betting entirely is going to shape up. I see that Jesse Harrington's got a useful-looking sort down at the bottom there. Gambling Girl, who's getting weight from all of the others. She's also got Mr. 51. Willie Mullins brings Renetti, Alonso and Arctic Fire. So it's going to be a very interesting betting heat. Could be a little bit more competitive than it first looks on paper. So cracking race, and yeah, if you can get a price for the Tullow Tank, which is, you know, of an each way variety, then I'd certainly advise that.
Okay.
It'd be the way I'm going.
Yeah. Okay then. On to the 110 next. This is the Drinmore Novice Chase, a grade one over 2.5 miles, this one. And Sizing Rio is probably going to be popular coming here chasing the hat-trick.
Yeah, it's, again, very, very good race. Sizing Rio has come into the race having won his last two. Represents Henry de Bromhead, who could well have a good day. And Andrew Lynch is taking the ride. And of all of those with good novice chase form at the moment, this Sizing Rio is right up there. Art of Logistics, another interesting runner for Desi Hughes' team. Brian Cooper is taking the ride on this one, a horse who seems to be progressing all the while. And Don Cossack, although he's not completely bomb-proof, this horse, he is very, very classy, and I think if he puts his best foot forward, he's got a great chance as well for Gordon Elliott and Davy Russell. I think they would be my three against the field. Sizing Rio, for me, is the horse with the sort of form that you want for a race like this. Knows how to win as well. I think Henry de Bromhead's Charles might just be the one to beat here, but it's a cracking race, and it's always a race that provides plenty of thrills and spills and a very classy winner, which is worth following in future seasons. I see that RV Collegianaire won the race 12 months ago.
Yeah, and Bog Warrior won it before that, who won his fair share of races as well. So good. On to the final race we're going to look at, the 215 at Fairy House. This is the Hatton's Grace Hurdle, which is a grade one over 2.5 miles, and this one is... likely to see Jeske head the betting. He doesn't really do much wrong, does he, Jeske? He's a great horse at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, the only time he's come a little unstuck was when he chased home Champagne Fever and My Tent or Yours in the Supreme at the festival.
Yeah.
And that's obviously very, very good form indeed. He deserves to be favourite. Came back at Dam Royal 30 days ago and won in very taking fashion, I thought. He perhaps wasn't quite as easy as everybody suspected. He won it by only a handful of lengths from a horse who is fair, but is inferior by some way to Jeske. But it was the horse's first run for quite a long time, and I thought it was the perfect pipe opener to his new season. He then was going to go to... was it Punchestown or Fairy House for Hurricane Flies race, the Morgiana Hurdle, the other week? That didn't happen, and he comes here instead. I don't think 2.5 miles will pose any sort of problems. AP McCoy booked to ride for trainer Jesse Harrington, and this could be a real serious champion hurdle contender this season. So I think Jeske, yeah, most definitely the one to beat. Of the others, Dear Carly was a very progressive horse back last season. The only time he really became unstuck was when he was behind Our Connor at the Cheltenham Festival. That's not really too bad a form. Paul Townend taking the ride, and Ruby Walsh is taking the ride on Zydepoor, the other Willie Mullins in the race, and both of those need respecting. And you couldn't entirely rule out the likes of To Dig Out and Rule the World. It's for mine, Jeske's to win, and it's going to be a right battle on for second, third and fourth. But another intriguing renewal of the Hatton's Grace. Zydepoor, of course, who's in the race, won it last year. But I think Jeske's going to take all the beating this time.
OK, good stuff. Looking forward to it. Should be a good day on Sunday. Should we just have a quick summary of your selections before we go?
Sure. I think the Tullow Tank could represent decent each-way value in the 12:40, the Royal Bond Novices Hurdle. In the Drinmore Novices Chase at 1:10, I'll side with Sizing Rio. And Jeske should take all the beating in the 2:15, the Hatton's Grace Hurdle.
Thank you very much, Gareth. Enjoy on Sunday. So there you go, the thoughts of Gareth Topham on Sunday's racing then. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from midday, a high noon start with Mick Norton, Alistair Whitehouse-Jones and Stephen Powell in the studio. Tune in for all of that on Sunday. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Sunday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.